Welcome to the Queensland Economy Watch Special Coronavirus Edition. I'm your host, Gene Tunney. Today's Courier Mail ran the headline, "Desperate Plea as Business Hits Crisis Point." Stephen Wardle wrote, "Business confidence has crashed to levels that eclipsed the global financial crisis, sparking calls for the Palaszczuk government to cut red tape and bankroll infrastructure to resuscitate the Queensland economy." The source of this finding about business confidence is the latest Suncorp CCIQ pulse survey. New survey results for March quarter are out, and joining me to discuss those findings is Jack Baxter, Economic and Policy Advisor at CCIQ. Jack, good to speak with you.
Good afternoon, Gene.
Excellent, Jack. You've really got a lot of coverage out of this latest poll survey, Jack. Would you be able would you be able to take us through the highlights of it, please?
Yeah, most certainly, Gene. Look, as you read through there, the headline, which was ran by the Courier this morning, it was quite a grim headline. But again, I say the word, it was concerning, but probably not sort of unsurprising, given everything which has been going on over the recent weeks. But essentially, the headlines, some of the really key and concerning measures which we saw come through this pulse survey, as you mentioned, was some of the worst conditions experienced by the small business sector, or the business sector in general, in Queensland since the global financial crisis. And some of the headlines were, you know, we had the worst 12-month outlook for the state and national economy. We had the worst general business conditions in history. Business experienced some of the worst sales, revenues, and profitability. And there was also, which is really concerning for the state economy, was we also observed the fact that businesses had some of the lowest employment levels and lowest employment intentions, again, in history that we've ever seen. And when we say that it was a little bit unsurprising, it comes off the back that we were already at sentiment levels for businesses in Queensland was already at levels which we were seeing during the sort of period where the global financial crisis was really impacting businesses in Queensland and Australia. And obviously, coronavirus has come in, the COVID-19 pandemic, and has really, really accelerated those issues for businesses. And those which were already struggling are obviously feeling quite a significant burden.
Okay, so you made a few good points there. You mentioned that the outlook is poor, and that means that businesses won't be hiring and they won't be investing in the short term. Now, you were quoted in the Courier Mail this morning, so the Courier Mail has quoted you as saying, "Right now, some businesses are in a state of compulsory hibernation where their sole focus has been on finding ways to stay afloat in the months to come," Mr. Baxter said. "There is no motivation to invest in people or assets because there is such widespread uncertainty, and this is the primary concern for the long-term recovery of the economy." Do you have a sense of how much damage has been done to the long-term financial positions, the long-term financial viability of businesses across Queensland, Jack, and what that means for the future?
Absolutely. I mean, viability is probably the key word which you mentioned there. And I mean, we, our team and myself included, speak to these businesses day in and day out. And I mean, the results there, I mean, the index measure for that 12-month outlook, it fell 25 points down to 13.1. And that was off the back of 88% of businesses in Queensland, I'm saying that they expected the performance to soften over the next 12 months. And I mean, as we mentioned, confidence is the key with the small business sector. And we've seen that time and time again with the Queensland state, being that we're a small business state. And obviously when businesses, when their profitability is down, when their sales and revenue is down, not only is there a lack of confidence to invest in productive assets or to invest in productive a productive workforce, there's not the cash flows for it either. And again, that's really concerning. I mean, we saw labor force figures come out recently, which really... probably, if you looked more so in the detail, it showed the severe impact which coronavirus is having, and again, the issues to employment, what that's having on business. But as far as a dollar figure, I'd love to have a dollar figure as far as the impact, but obviously we won't know that for a couple of sort of weeks or months to come. But what we know is there are just such a significant amount of businesses which are experiencing severe financial hardship, and as I mentioned there. Businesses' sole focus has been the here and now. They're not looking forward to the future, and the reason being because they're focused on how are they going to survive today? What staff can they keep on today? What assets can they utilize today? Unfortunately, there's been a severe, I think the real crisis moving forward is the fact that businesses are having to be so short-focused, and there's no forward-looking outlook for those businesses. And obviously it's these investments that we talk about. I mean, obviously as an economist, I probably don't need to remind you is that it's these productive investments which drive economic growth in the future. So with that being lacking, it's a massive, massive concern for the direction of the economy over the coming sort of months. Obviously, we've got the end of the financial year approaching, but obviously the years forward as well. It's not going to be, I don't think this crisis is going to be a short-term crisis. It's going to be, the effects are going to be deep-rooted for years to come.
Okay. Could I ask about JobKeeper? So that must be having an impact on business's outlook. I mean, that must be protecting some of the jobs, and it must provide some confidence to business. This was a survey for March quarter, so that covers up to the end of March.
Yes.
Do we know what businesses were thinking of JobKeeper, or had it even been announced? I'm struggling to remember myself.
Yeah, look, it was right around that period, and it's what we're sort of titling being the crisis period. And JobKeeper had been noted. So when we talk about employment costs, we actually did see a couple of, if you want to call it, sort of shimmers of hope, I suppose, through the survey results. So regarding labour costs, so 3/4 of businesses said their labour costs either fell or remained the same in the March quarter. But moving forward into June, there was actually more than half of businesses forecasted that their labour costs were going to fall further over June. And again, there's no particular way to sort of discern between the two. And again, you run the risk of the spurious regression issues entering the mix. But whether or not that is sort of easing labour costs is correlated to the fact that businesses are laying off staff is sort of hard to tell or hard to distinguish against whether or not it's the JobKeeper, the benefits of the JobKeeper payment starting to flow through to businesses as well. So obviously we're very hopeful that it's the latter, again, once those cash flows start reaching businesses, giving them a little bit more confidence to keep their staff on, again, to help subsidise their wage. But again, this is all things which moving forward and the June quarter we're going to be focused very heavily on is looking at whether or not a lot of those stimulus measures and the JobKeeper stimulus measure being included has had its intended effect upon business in Queensland.
Okay, thanks for that, Jack. I'm going to raise this point about the impact on their cash flows, and what I found striking in the latest Pulse survey report is this finding that 1/3 reported a fall in turnover greater than 80%. Now, this seems massive to me. That's extraordinary. Could it be that you're seeing
a very large number?
Yeah. Could we just chat a bit about the types of businesses that would have responded to your survey? So you're you represent, or CCIQ represents, small and medium enterprises. I mean, you obviously must have a lot in the hospitality and tourism industries. That they're the ones
most that certainly.
Okay.
Most certainly. So we cover a lot of this, and we report it all in the survey as well. So obviously a large majority of our members are obviously going to be your micro and small businesses, particularly your micro business. So they're anyone from non-employing businesses to employers of up to 5 staff. But again, we see responses from businesses of all different size. But obviously, naturally, we do see, again, when we talk about such a high number in the 80% as well, it's also important to reflect on which industries responded to the survey. So we had a really large, there was a large voice from the construction industry. Obviously, a lot of concern in the sort of property and professional services, retail, sort of your health and community services, accommodation, hospitality, exactly as you mentioned, a significant amount of those respondents were in those industries hardest hit, which we saw were those who sort of had a large sort of link with tourism in Queensland, which is obviously a significant driver of economic growth in our state.
Okay, yes, fair point. It must be that the fall in turnover they're reporting, that must be a prospective fall. That must be what they're expecting, because if this is for March quarter, I imagine a lot of them wouldn't have already, it wouldn't be 80% down on the, you know, March quarter last year or December quarter. That would be absolutely extraordinary, because the impacts of this started for some of the businesses. It started in late January, early Feb, I think, because I remember chatting with some of your colleagues about that. The businesses which exported into the Chinese market, so yeah, there were some seafood businesses badly affected. Oh, and then I guess the tourism and some of the tourism businesses, they would have been affected because we had the visitors not coming here, didn't we? And yeah.
Definitely.
Okay.
And again, all of those issues really compound to reflect the sort of the hit to revenues and the hit to turnover, obviously quarter on quarter. So moving forward from what was experienced in the December quarter and what businesses, or again, how businesses sort of reflect that change in turnover is typically reflective of the previous quarter, but businesses are obviously going to be mindful of what their revenues were this quarter, in the March quarter, and previous years as well.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely extraordinary number. So I'll have a more of a closer look at the survey results, because I think it'd be good to understand how it's impacting businesses of different sizes. I know you've got those estimates in the report, so I'll put a link to the report in the notes.
It's something which I can give you a bit of insight as well. It's something which CCIQ has invested very heavily this time around. So we have actually invested in doing a regional sort of view, so what the difference between regions were. So some regions were more harder hit. So you probably read it in the press today that obviously what I saw from the data was that especially, you know, the regions in the southeast corner and the far north were being really more severely impacted than probably your regions around the central coast. And again, that's all reflective of the fact which, you know, the regions in those areas have a severe reliance upon tourism, and they are very service-based or service-reliant regions as well.
Okay, so we're talking about Cairns and we're talking about Gold Coast. Are they the hardest hit?
Yeah. Look, Cairns was very vocal. That region was very, very vocal. And they were definitely feeling the impact. And they probably, from what the results showed, probably felt the impact a lot sooner. And then obviously other regions as well, being Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, some areas in Brisbane as well.
Okay. Now, the Courier Mail has reported that there are calls for cutting red tape and bankrolling infrastructure to resuscitate the Queensland economy. Do you have any thoughts on what specific bits of red tape should be cut or what specific infrastructure projects should be invested in, Jack?
Look, it's a great point you raised, Gene, and we have teams working tirelessly behind the scenes who would definitely speak to this a lot more clearly than I. So, again, I do apologise for probably couldn't do a better job that they do. But, look, essentially our team views these policy priorities in probably two areas, and the first area being sort of moving away from the crisis period into the recovery period, which we view as right now, and the second period is moving away from the recovery into the reform space as well. So those different areas have different priorities. So I'll speak to the first area first, moving into recovery, and a lot of that sort of policy direction is really targeted towards confidence. So obviously it's the confidence of consumers, it's the confidence of businesses, which will ultimately determine how quickly businesses are able to bounce back or respond from the COVID-19 crisis. So again, we're asking for a clear roadmap on when businesses can return and what this looks like when they do return. So again, just giving businesses a bit of certainty that, you know, it's not going to be business as usual. We acknowledge that. But so long as businesses can return, they can return and generate income to pay down their bills. It's going to do wonders for their, obviously, for their confidence as well. And again, in the present recovery period, when we talk about infrastructure, it's really about starting those shovel-ready projects. So where that area lies, which will be very interesting in the budget or the previous budget, but again, it's making sure whichever that infrastructure project is, if it's water, if it's resources, if it's roads, hospitals, et cetera, making sure that we get those started as soon as possible. But then our direction differs. Again, when we move out of the recovery into the reform, the discussion completely changes. So again, when we move into the reform, it's about, you know, how can we remove those inefficient policies and taxes? For example, payroll tax is a classic example. You know, we have a government in at the moment and which prioritizes employment, jobs and growth. So again, when we look at a policy such as the payroll tax, it probably doesn't make as much sense because it's essentially a tax on business for employing staff. And we see that as counterproductive. So again, we've had some great success with the present government. And we're really asking for that success to continue, for them to continue listening to us or our advocacy efforts to continue reducing those inefficient taxes. And that was just one example being payroll tax. Again, there's a number of policy areas behind the scene, which the advocacy team is very, very heavily focused on. And then obviously, otherwise in the reform, yeah, we also have, again, a specific to reform is which areas of taxation and sort of similar areas can we work on to make business more easy or make businesses' life a lot easier in the future? How can we cut down burdensome regulation? How can we reduce the cost of doing business? And, you know, some areas which are just examples which we're looking at, you know, include we've seen some tax stimulus measures come through in the form of the benefits for depreciation write-offs or instant asset write-offs. And it's, you know, how can we take that short-sighted policy moves or the short-sighted stimulus areas and turn that into a longer-term area for reform? And, you know, another example might include stamp duties as another area, as an area which has traditionally been looked at as something which might sort of take away from growth in the investment space. So again, I think there just needs to be a little bit of a shift in the mindset that obviously removing some taxes removes public revenues, but it's shifting that mindset into if business is easier to conduct or business is cheaper to be done, it's that we hope that those, you know, the benefits of that will flow through to revenue streams in your more traditional forms, being tax on profit and tax on wages.
Yeah. Now, on stamp duty, I think New South Wales is looking at replacing stamp duty with land tax, isn't it? Which is considered more efficient. and you know, it could reduce the cost of housing if they do that. So, I mean, that's one possibility. ACT's got, they're moving towards getting rid of stamp duty and replacing it with land tax. So that's something that could be considered here in Queensland. Yeah. It would be, politically very challenging. That's possibly a topic for another conversation. But, Jack, that
definitely.
That was good. I'd like just finally, any other highlights of the March quarter pulse survey you'd like to draw our attention to, please, before we go?
Again, probably something which we didn't touch on, Gina, again, which is another area which we're focusing on with the business community, is, again, which we did touch on earlier, but was that confidence to invest, because we also saw a significant number both of businesses, both in the March quarter and looking forward into the June quarter, who are expecting to reduce their capital expenditure. And, you know, for example, for the June quarter, it was, that number was more than half of businesses who will be looking to reduce their productive investments in the future. So again, when we talk about economic growth, this is an area which we want to focus on, is how can we make, or how can we benefit, how can we promote business confidence to want to go out there and invest money, to invest in you know, a new workforce, to invest in productive assets to drive that productive growth.
Yes, good point, Jack. So that's been great. I should mention before we go that it is still very uncertain just how quickly we will be able to reopen things. So cafes and restaurants have started reopening, although they're limited in the numbers of people they can have inside. But hopefully we can relax some of those restrictions in the next month or so. We're still unsure about the border with New South Wales, and I think our Premier is in a dispute with the New South Wales Premier about when that border will reopen, and it may not be until September. No one knows when we'll be able to open up for international tourism again, and it may be that our businesses have to rely on domestic tourism. And it seems that that could actually work, because I think the Prime Minister made the point that we spend more on tourism overseas. So Australian residents spend more on tourism overseas than we get in from international tourists coming here. So there's the potential.
Definitely.
Yeah. So there is that potential.
Definitely. I think we have seen that we import a lot more tourism than we probably do export. And again, this is probably the certainty that we're talking about, is providing businesses with more certainty as to when those border restrictions will be eased and when we can start to see that domestic tourism start to flow through. Because as you mentioned, in the absence of international tourism, or, you know, with the uncertainty surrounding international tourism, domestic tourism is going to be the key for those industries which are heavily reliant on that space, which, you know, obviously particularly includes our hospitality and accommodation providers.
Okay. Jack, keep up the great work there. And I'm looking forward to more, analysis and advocacy from CCIQ. I think it would be great for your advocacy team to provide, you know, get out there in the policy debate and provide more details on, you know, just what red tape needs cutting. I think that would be really useful. I know you've done this.
Most certainly.
Yeah, they've done this sort of thing in the past, and it may be that we just need a few opinion pieces or...
Absolutely. I mean, we've got a couple in the pipeline. I can give the audience a bit of reassurance and yourself a bit of reinsurance as well, that we do have a few projects in the pipeline, obviously productivity being one, red tape being another, and we also have a really key focus on manufacturing and the direction of advanced manufacturing in our state, which is going to be... We view internally as really a key area to pivot off after the COVID-19 crisis. So again, these are all areas, and there was also women in business, which has also been set to be released soon. So again, it's talking about increasing the participants in the labour force and what the economic benefits of that might include. So we do have a large number of projects in the pipeline. and which have been worked on, which are, again, just sort of being finalised and looking for release date as well. So we look forward to that.
Good, good. That Women in Business report, that sounds very good. We saw that women were disproportionately affected by the corona crisis. I think that in the numbers last week from the ABS, we saw that it was the employment losses were disproportionately borne by women. So, yeah, it'd be good to see that Women in Business report. Yeah.
Okay. Which, again, so that report does touch on those issues and where women are more sort of heavily concentrated in the workforce or industry as well, which might provide a little bit more insight as to why they were more heavily impacted by the COVID-19. But again, all pipeline projects, and we're all looking forward to their release date.
Good stuff. Jack Baxter, Economic and Policy Advisor at CCIQ. Thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. I've really appreciated it.
Pleasure, Gene.